Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Hello and welcome to the PC Gaming Podcast.
What was that?
I'm Mender's Logic, that's Chad Shoemaker, aka Flopsy, and our host, I'd rather look at a screen than talk to the people.
Yeah.
Say hi to the people, Bobby.
What's up, everybody?
All right. Here we go.
This is going to be very confusing for our audio listeners, by the way. But we are broadcasting live right now.
Yeah, on Twitch. This is our... Well, we did it last week, and it went okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all
so
right.
We figured we'll give it
well,
a second
Well, we didn't tell anybody last week. We
yeah.
just were trying
it. It was incognito.
Yeah.
But we're going to get a better webcam, so that'll look better next week.
What, where is the stream?
Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch for right now. No, we haven't come up with our own yet.
Okay.
Eventually we will.
So this is on yours right now,
yeah.
Right?
Which is Robert Digital Games?
Yep.
Robert Digital Games, that's right.
He's just using us to get famous, man.
Yeah, no.
We're stepping stones.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's my big plan.
Standing on our shoulders.
Yeah.
All right, so enough of that. Let's get to the episode here. What do we got first?
Well, apparently the biggest news thing is the Game Awards, which Chad and I didn't watch. I wanted to watch them, but we were busy last night.
We don't have cable also.
Yeah, okay. But it was online.
Let me clear this up for everybody. I've been telling everybody about this. They're like, I don't have cable. I'm like, dude, it's not even on cable.
Oh, it's not even on cable.
No, it's not on Spike. It's not on TV. It's almost 2015. It's cable's dead.
But who did it?
It was on Steam, PS Network, Xbox Live, Twitch. It was... streamed directly from the video game's website. It was everywhere on the internet.
Is it ESA that does it?
I don't know who exactly funded all of it.
Oh, okay. Because I was assuming that it was Spike. They call it. They had VGAs.
Yeah. Well, they took that out. See, that's the thing. They took away Spike and they took away video out of the title. It was just called the Game Awards.
Interesting.
And if you remember last year, it was a disaster. It was like a four-hour-long live stream with. Who's that guy from Community? The tall, skinny guy?
Yeah.
Comedian?
Joe McHale.
And it just tanked. It was a mess. They had all sorts of problems. People were pissed. So they redid it again this year, and it was kind of like it was in previous years. I've been watching this show for a long time, but it was way better. This is probably the best one I've seen so far. It was not without its problems, but it was still a lot better. It seemed like they didn't drag out these B-list actors who pretended to give a shit about video games.
Right.
You know, it was actually people in the industry. And it was people who you wanted to see and people who seemed to be treating this with a lot more genuine respect.
And credit to them, because people in the industry aren't pretty, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like this guy that we're watching now. Not Tim Shea or anything.
Yeah. And then, you know, this part that we're watching right here, he kind of touched on that point. He was like, well, Kevin Spacey couldn't be here tonight. He had a little bit about it, you know. But it was funny.
So did he host it, or was there
no,
a host?
No, he was presenting an award.
What was there a host?
Jeff Kiley, who a lot of people have mixed feelings about.
Who's Jeff Kiley?
He's just kind of a personality, a video game personality. I'm not sure what exactly is his title. He does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, like with Portal and I think Titanfall. He came out with these kind of interactive books with videos that you can watch and... he kind of got criticized a lot for being a spokesperson for Call of Duty games with that whole Mountain Dew Dorito thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do not like this guy because he, kind of at the core of that whole Gamersgate thing is a lot of those things. There we go. We got his Twitter up here.
Hey guys, can you find any numbers on like maybe how well they did last night or how many viewers they got or if it was considered a success maybe somewhere? I'm just curious.
I think what I find interesting is I don't think mainstream media still knows what to do with video games, and I think the Video Game Awards is a good example. Like they're like, okay, we'll just throw it up on the internet on TV, and people will watch it because it's popular now, and then it bombs. Like they don't understand that gamers are a little more advanced than their typical. Household mom that's...
Well, yeah, and I think that's why they've been playing with the format so much. But this year seemed... The tone was a lot better. Right off the bat, you could tell, like, you know, they were taking a much more serious approach. In the past, my problem with this was that it was just a little juvenile. They seemed to they seem to be pandering to the little kids. And I think what their vision for this is the most legitimate award show we can have for video games, like the Oscars, except for video games.
It's so broad, though, you know, because there's so many types of gamers, and I would say even more than when you're watching. When you, people that watch the Academy Awards are like movie buffs, or they want to watch the famous people walk around. This is like, you can have anything from kid games to consoles to PC. It's a huge, huge macrocosm of shit. Yeah. So, and another thing, awards ceremonies in general, I think, are on their way out, that, because they suck, let's be honest.
You think so?
I think so, for sure. They seem to be getting worse and worse.
I can't watch them. I refuse to watch them.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, they're hours long. Even the Oscars are like 3 hours long. And this was exactly 3 hours long, and I watched the whole thing, start to finish.
Start to finish, huh? That's
now, legit. The problem with it, though...
Those are cool-looking awards.
Yeah, everybody was saying that, too. The awards did look cool.
Oh, like
it looks
digital
like,
angels?
They're like angels. Angel. Yeah, like digital angels or something. Cool.
We're going to need one for our PC gaming podcast here in a second. Yeah. It's in the mail, right, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So how many did we win?
What I liked about this was the awards, but the problem was there was not enough awards. They did a lot of world premieres, which ended up being like 10, 15 seconds of gameplay footage of games that we already know about, but it was just maybe 10 or 15 seconds of new footage. And it's
coming down the pipe, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably what paid for the whole thing,
yeah,
I would say.
Totally. Yeah. And the thing is, people wait till E3 to advertise a lot of these things and to do world premieres and big announcements. So it kind of felt like world premiere, like in quotation marks, you know, like that really wasn't...
Right.
You have any really wasn't example? Right. No Man's Sky. Mm-hmm. They showed about 10 seconds of that. It looked good, but
it still wasn't gameplay, right?
No, it was gameplay, but it was just like, that's it. I mean, that's what the world premiere... I mean,
Right.
And a lot of these awards were given off camera, too. Like, they would just say, like, oh, so-and-so won this award. And I was like, wait, you didn't say that. Like, I didn't see that part. They didn't have that, like, filmed on camera. They didn't make, like, a production of it. Mm-hmm. You know,
you could have stopped downplaying world premiere, because this is our world premiere today.
Yeah.
Everybody, bear witness at the majesty.
Yeah, well, hopefully this won't be 3 hours long.
I want to get into the actual winners.
Before we get into that, I do want to say that I thought it was really interesting that they didn't separate the categories for the first time ever, right? Or the consoles.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like Xbox, the best game on Xbox, the best game on PlayStation. Maybe because all the AAA titles are universal at this point.
Yeah.
The only thing that maybe won't get credit is, did they have an indie?
They had best indie game.
Right. Which is almost always PC, and sometimes they port them over to the... to the PC.
You see a lot of indie on Xbox.
No, the best indie you...
the Xbox market.
Was a PC game also.
Well, let's get into it.
Bobby, right.
Can we bring up the nominees here? Let's say Game of the Year for the last, but what categories out of all this do you think... I mean, what excites you?
We were talking
most?
About independent. Let's get in there.
All right.
Hopefully it's a PC game.
Well, do we need to see the best... the list, or can we just see the winners?
No, we can bring up the winners. I can't even remember what...
The winner right there, Shovel Knight. Wow, Chad. Yeah. And did you think it was worth...
It was nice. It was...
You think it was better than Broken Age or Transistor? What are the ones that we have?
Oh, you really like Transistor.
I like Transistor.
A lot of people like Transistor.
The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, I've never played.
So personally, you would have gave it to Transistor, you think?
Scroll back up, Albert. Yeah, I would definitely have given it to Transistor. I didn't play Monument Valley.
People really like Shovel Knight too. It's one of those. I took one look at it. I was like, wow.
It was just a retro game, and if you're like, it hit the vein with retro, and people.
I'm so
fan service.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Looks like we got a few people coming in the chat room. I'm just going to give a shout out. Abby plays games. What's up, Kai Mellon? I know that dude. All right, right on. Got people watching.
Cool.
But this is a good example, though. Best indie game was not announced on stage. Just at some point in the show, Jeff Kiley was just like, oh, and so-and-so, Shovel Knight won best indie game. Just like kind of briefly mentioned it. It's like, okay. But then some other categories had someone come out and do the whole Oscar thing, and the nominees are like best racing game got that kind of treatment.
Maybe the Shovel Knight people weren't there, so they they're not going to give the award to somebody.
There's no money in indies. You're not going to get any kickbacks from...
Well, yeah. I heard Blizzard's Christmas party was the same night as this, too, and there weren't a lot of people in the stands, and some people who did win... It's only $45 a ticket. If I would have known about it earlier, I would have drove out to Vegas for that. I mean, that's only, what, 6 hours from here?
Yeah,
5 hours.
But some people did win, and they're like, well, no one can be here to accept it. And then, like, later in the show, they're like, oh, so-and-so is here. And then they, like, throw him backstage real quick. There was a little bit of trouble.
They zoom in on him on the craft services. He's like...
Yeah.
She's very at hand.
So it was a little weird, but... Let's take a look at some of the other categories here. If you scroll to the bottom there, they actually had best esports team and best esports player. This is fans' choice, though.
Okay. Yeah. So,
which it would have to be, right?
Esports team of the year has got to be Team Solo Mid. They get a lot of hype.
Solo Mid? Really? Nah.
Who
Evil Genius is the only team I really feel strongly about here. Ninjas in Pajamas.
Oh, Counter Ninjas Strike. In Pajamas, yeah. One.
They seem to be pretty popular right now. And then Counter-Strike.
Great name, too. Gotta give them that.
Yeah. I would have thought Dota would be cleaning up in these categories, but also the most famous, or the fans' choice for esports player was Nadeshot from Counter-Strike.
Oh, yeah, I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, and he got up, said a few things, and he was surprisingly eloquent. Like, he did a good job. Like, everybody was very professional, very grateful. Like, there was a much better feel to this award show than previous years.
Speaking of which, I watched the Hearthstone Grand Finales, which were like a couple weeks ago, I think. And you don't need all the hoopla that you have because it's just two people playing each other, yeah. Right? So it's one room. They're locked into this big glass case. They have a giant fireplace, which I thought was really nice. That's just a really nice fireplace. It's fake, but it looks like the hand-drawn one. They did a really good job about it. But anyway, the kid wins, and he just ran Firefox, I want to say, or Firefly, something like that.
Firebat,
there you go. He ran right through the competition, like 3-0, 3-0, 3-0 in the grand finales. And it's like, okay, now two hot chicks are hugging you and you're in front of the TVs and there's all these people clapping and now be eloquent and be awesome. But meanwhile, I think he's a computer nerd. He spends, you know, 75% of his life in front of the screen. He wasn't terrible, but... You're not going to get what you get with the Oscars, where you get fucking Brad motherfucking Pitt, where he just brings down the house.
Well, those people are professional actors. They know how to act.
Right.
Gamers are known for having...
Especially a single-player game. He probably doesn't even talk. Like, well, I'm sure he streams or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a lack of social skills.
Yeah. I mean, in a single-player game. Like, if you're playing Counter-Strike Go or, you know, or a MOBA, you gotta communicate with your teammates, and also you have to be skilled in that. But if you're playing Hearthstone, you're playing it by yourself.
Yeah, I think streaming really helps social skills for all these guys. That for sure. I mean, Driver just became a natural announcer straight into doing the casting that he does. Just he got all those
he's
skills
good too.
Yeah, he's just good.
I like it. So should we go straight to Game of the Year, or is there anything else that you want?
No,
to
No, I
want to
touch on a lot of these.
Let's look at a few more categories here. Best racing game.
Best performance. That's interesting.
Yeah, best performance was Trey Parker.
It's funny because he does that day in and day out all week. Like he's not going to fuck it up. He's going to deliver a perfect.
Yeah.
But let's see the other. What else we got?
Troy Baker
can sit this one out, man. I'm kind of glad he didn't win because he's
Kevin Spacey.
See, I thought he did a really good job in that game.
I was surprised.
But again,
a little more fan service.
He's being Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
You know.
He was reading. He's just literally being himself.
He can read fucking the same word over and over, and it's just gonna sound awesome.
Yeah, you know? He could be my favorite actor.
He's one of
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah,
he's one of our best of our generation for sure. Best shooter.
Yeah, that's got to be Counter-Strike.
Best shooter,
right?
No, that didn't come out this year.
Oh, it didn't. You're right.
Yeah. No, I would have loved to have seen Wolfenstein win this, but Far Cry 4 was which I haven't played, but I hear is great.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, you know, I went over it last week.
Wolfenstein, you guys had a blast playing.
Yeah, I prefer Wolfenstein. I knew it wouldn't win,
but I wanted it to. Wolfenstein was also nominated for Best Narrative.
How did Destiny
go to Best Narrative? I want to see what we got for Best Narrative.
Destiny, I think, did win, or maybe it was Bungie won Best Studio.
I see. Putting out one game.
Destiny might have had Best Soundtrack or Best Audio.
Valiant Hearts won Best Narrative. Yeah.
And I started playing that game today, too, just because it won. I've been meaning to play that, and I figured, well, now I have to.
And you would think that these literal story type games would have won that, like mm-hmm. the Wolf Among Us or The Walking Dead. But, you know,
Well, Valiant Hearts is a great game. It also won Game for Change, which is a new category this year. And they didn't really explain it in the show, very briefly, like in one sentence under his breath. He's like, it's a game that has a message. And they didn't present it on stage. They just kind of briefly went over it.
Looks like something they throw in last minute.
But they had This War of Mine was in there, Valiant Hearts, some other good games.
Personally, I would have gave it to This War of Mine. Yeah. Although there wasn't a strong narrative, you really make the narrative in that game.
How about Best Role-Playing Game? What do we got for that?
Best RPG?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember which one won that.
Bravely Default? I haven't even heard of that one. Dark Souls Divinity... Oh, Dragon Age Inquisition, naturally. Yeah. Okay.
And keep in mind, they aren't differentiating between platforms here. This is not PC. This could also be console games.
So. Yeah, it just says BioWare EA. You know, it doesn't say what.
So there's a lot of games on here that I'm not even familiar with. But Game of the Year, we might as well talk about it. That was Dragon Age Inquisition. Any surprises there?
What else was Bayonetta 2? Wow. Dark Souls 2, Dragon Age... Hearthstone and Shadow of Mordor.
I mean, Shadow of Mordor, I'm glad it got the nomination. I thought maybe because it did a lot of new things there. Hearthstone
that's crazy.
I could totally have seen it winning that. Dark Souls 2, no. Explain what I'm supposed to do.
What the fuck is up with Dark Souls 2? Like, that's Game of the Year material?
I don't get it.
Man. I don't know.
There's something.
People love that game.
And I don't understand why. Like, I'm so out of the loop. Like, I don't get it.
I felt like I'm playing something super complex without any instructions. Like, you didn't get the booklet with your Nintendo game. That's how I feel.
And Bayonetta 2, have you guys played Bayonetta 2?
No.
But I do, I've heard a lot of hype about it.
So, Bayonetta 1, my understanding was, it was just some hot chick covered in hair that shoots people similar to Devil May Cry, right?
Right.
So,
and this is even more over the top. I don't know. I can't tell you.
It just sounds like a game made for 12-year-old boys.
You know, it's a hack and slash, and it's the center of a lot of discussion for this whole, you know, women in video games thing, too, I hear. But
At the end of the day, it is a chick beating all these monsters. Even though she might be hot.
I saw, just on a quick tangent, I read a...
A chick. A broad.
No, I read a little response that somebody had posted.
Some slut. Some slut's killing all these monsters. I mean, girls can look up to that, right?
I saw a response that somebody had put about women in as characters in games, and I thought it was kind of an interesting take. They basically stated that, of course, like, a lot of games have flawed characters. Like, you know, take any of these games where, you know, they have upsides and downsides.
Right.
And he basically made the argument, I'm assuming it's a guy, but it might be a girl, I don't know.
Or a chick or a
guy. That person made the argument that we're not yet to the point where we can show a girl being flawed because they'll scream sexism. So the only safe way to go is to be a white dude. Similar, he made the example like, if you see a robber in a commercial, it's going to be a white male.
Yeah, almost always.
It's not going to be, you know, a black guy or a Mexican.
Who it should be. I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that, but basically what they're saying is we're still steps away from getting there.
Yeah.
And so...
Here's a good example.
The safe place to do is to make it a white male.
So who hunts all the time? It's... white males generally are hunters, you know, and they do the trophy and they take the picture and they smile. So some hot chick, like very, very good looking, like younger 19-year-old, like cheerleader looking girl, killed an elk and she's holding it up. Massive controversy. Like, oh, you know, hunting's terrible.
Yeah.
None of those other ones got any kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Sorry, that was my little tangent for the.
Well, it's crazy, man. What you gonna do?
So
thanks for wrapping that up, Bobby.
So
thanks for your 2 cents.
We were talking last week that we were gonna play some Dragon Age Inquisition. So
So we did in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't play as much as I would have liked.
No, for sure. We played on the PS4, and Yep. What are you going to say? Do you have anything off the bat? Because it wasn't, it didn't feel, just, it's very, like, already been done. So, okay, some shit happened, you're the chosen one, and start doing the what the chosen one does, which is fix the bad shit. Like, immediately know who are you, where'd you come from, yeah. No subtle lead in. Yeah, and it just, like, threw you right in. The two guys that, like, start helping you right off the bat, it's just like, oh, they were on the way to the shit that I was going to do anyway, and they're like, hey, can we come with you? I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking the meat and potatoes of this is in the journey, but the beginning seemed forced.
Yeah, and, really forced.
Yeah, and almost like the beginning of an MMO, you know how, like, everybody's running around doing the same shit? That's kind of how, like, I didn't feel special, even though I was the special one. Whatever. But not to say that it's terrible. The combat's really fun.
Did you use the pause select actions at all?
I might as well have five thumbs when I'm on a thing. So I did as minimal things that I could possibly do because I was trying to kill anything. Yeah. I wasn't happy. I can't say. The graphics weren't that good and it seemed flat to me. It didn't seem to have depth, the graphics, but I think that's a fault of the PS4 and not the PC. Or not the game itself. Like, I'm watching PC footage here, and it looks, and then everybody's ugly.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an attractive person in this world.
There's, like, one attractive person in the whole game so far. I'm only an hour in, but, yeah, everybody's pretty ugly. Hmm. Which is fine, I guess. Yeah. It's more realistic.
Did you notice with the persistent gore on, you just end up just, like, spackled in blood? Like, you're at cutscenes, and there's just blood just dripping off you.
I do remember that constantly. From the other Dragon Ages.
Like, yeah.
If you go into a cutscene right after a battle, you'll be dripping blood, which is cool.
So I played a two-handed warrior.
Right.
And I felt really weak. I saw you playing the archer, the ranger or whatever, archer.
Right.
And it seemed like you were having a much easier time than I was slogging away with this big two-handed weapon.
Hmm.
I felt like...
But you're really playing four people at once. As four people at once, if you want to.
Yeah.
It does a great job of letting you take as much part in the battle as you would like. You could take full control and tell everybody what to do every fucking step, or you could tell people what you would like them to do in each situation and have them all set up, or you could just be yourself and just let them do what they do and just shoot back. And so any level of involvement that you want to take, it's there.
I'm curious to know how the story progresses, because as of right now, and granted, I only played like 5 hours worth, maybe.
5 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, you played after I was...
No, I played and then started over. I was fiddling around with it.
I think because it's fucking game of the year.
Game of the year.
I think the greatness is not in the beginning. Hopefully it's from the late beginning to the end. I think it has a very long main campaign, too. I think we're talking like 90 hours or something.
Right? Oh, really?
Like a lot.
I didn't really play the first two, and this story didn't drag me in. It didn't pull me in. It did the opposite. You know, it's almost like it left me wanting more story-wise. Like, you don't get any...
It probably comes later, I guess.
I know, but, like, I don't know. I just didn't like the story so far. I didn't like how it started off.
You're not missing out anything from the first two. Seriously, the only thing that came by are that the mages are fighting the... Inquisition or the... There's an order that doesn't like magic, and then...
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then the mages. And they're always fighting, and that carried over. And that's pretty much it. And a couple of the banners and maybe cities. But that's about it. You're not missing much. All I heard is, like, over and over, this is like Skyrim. And to me, there's nothing... They said open world, and everything seems very linear. Like, sure, I can go from here to there, and I could cut through the bushes... Kind of, but really it's way better to take the path. It's not, so far, I mean, I only got an hour in. Did you see some open worldness?
No. But
why are people saying that then?
I'm hoping that that's just this tutorial part. And once that kind of
wraps up. Hopefully.
You know, obviously something's there.
There's something there.
Winning game of the year. Everybody's saying, giving it really positive reviews and all. So... It's probably just one of those things.
What are the reviews on this? Like, what's this getting on Metacritic?
I don't know. From now on, I think we should have the developer, the year came out, and the Metacritic ready to go, because I feel like that's all Albert ever has to do these days.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. It's only been out for what, a month or something. I haven't been paying much attention.
To
a
couple weeks.
Couple weeks.
Yeah.
86 on Metacritic.
I really want to play it on the PC though.
5.7 for the user score. That's wow. pretty low. But you can't trust the users. They're yeah. pretty stupid. When it comes
and
to
it's the user score is based on what, like 12 scores or something like that. Like. It's not a very high. It's usually not a very high.
Yeah, and they're usually heavily biased by whatever reasons. But I don't know. I have very little desire to play this game. After winning Game of the Year, maybe I'd want to check it out. But I have no idea. I've never played any of the other Dragon Age games.
Yeah.
Am I missing out here?
Like I said, I played the first one briefly and the second one briefly. So like I have nothing really to pull on. It's kind of like one of these games that. I think the more time you spend on it, the more invested you're going to be. I was kind of... It gives you sometimes too many options. You've got four party members. You can go into each party member. You have to level up, give items to. You can change their behavior, you know, how they act when the AI is controlling them. Setting up the hotkeys. And like, for four guys, and I can just... I was already getting, like, frustrated by having to do all that for
everybody.
It's a lot
of work.
So
it's just a long game, and there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me, but I'm getting tired of these long games. Like, even movies, too. Like, I haven't seen Interstellar yet, because it's 3 hours long.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Yeah, no, it's great, but 3 hours, I mean, that's a pretty big chunk of my day, or my free time, at least.
Bring your girl and just have sex in the back.
We totally spent quality time. Remember we went to see Interstellar? That was a great movie.
But a game like this, I know I'm investing, what, 40 hours minimum?
Probably about that.
Like, minimum. And in that amount of time, I could play, like, four or five other games.
And, like, indie titles, which are quirky, and they got their own little cool thing that you've never seen before. It sounds like we're shitting on it, but I feel like we just took for a test drive, and you don't really get a really good feel for the whole thing.
It's almost like playing an MMO. And we've only seen, like, the tutorial part.
Exactly.
The amount of hours you guys have put into this, we should probably clarify this is kind of a first impression.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
I do hope to come back and have a thorough review. Because this was my most excited thing that was in 2014.
Once you get it on the PC, you mean?
Yeah, probably.
Because you are completely frustrated by that, that concept.
But, Chad, you know that you can put them on auto level and auto act and set and forget.
I know, but I feel like I'm not playing the game then. Like, right? Doesn't it kind of like...
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to it when you're just playing one character.
Yeah.
But if you are playing all of them, you can turn this into a strategy game. You could play this into an XCOM if you want to play it that way.
Yeah.
You have the option to do that. That's what I really... That's the strongest thing I can say about this game. You choose your involvement.
I haven't seen it worth the $60 yet. But
it probably comes in the time, but... Yeah, it just came in and snagged that... Hey, we're going to come in last and take the game of the year. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Well, the people that voted on the panel were people who had gotten review codes anyway, so they had played the game long ago, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, this is not like a fan choice. People aren't actually voting on this. I think they had a panel of maybe 30 people in the gaming journalism industry. So I trust their opinion.
Cool. So, Bobby, you finished Shadowrun?
Yeah, I finished Shadowrun Dragonfall, Director's Cut. Finally. And
a lot of dragons this week.
Yeah.
You said that last week.
A lot of dragons.
Next week, dragons.
And I'm not super crazy about the whole fantasy thing, but Dragonfall or Shadowrun in general has everything. It's got sci-fi, cyberpunk. Not so much steampunk, but like cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It's got dragons, wizards, technology, laser beams. It's like an anything goes kind of universe,
Nerd
which
heaven.
Is really weird. But yeah, this was originally an expansion for Shadowrun Returns.
Right.
And then they just came out and made it its standalone version and supposedly added a few new quests and kind of fixed a few things. I spent probably about 20 hours to beat this game, which is... I think I spent 12 hours to beat Shadowrun Returns.
You barreled through this, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it took me about a week, solid week. But... I didn't like it as much as the original one, and I don't think it's worse. I think I'm just kind of tired of this type of game.
Yeah.
It took me a lot longer to beat. There's a lot more content, yet the story feels smaller in this. In Shadowrun Returns, you go to different places, you change the setting a lot. In this, you kind of operate out of one town in Germany and then handle all these quests. You hop on the train to go do a quest somewhere.
Feel like a lot of busy work.
Yeah, it felt very localized. Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of busy work. There was one part in the game where I had to raid 50,000 New Yen, that's the currency in this game. I had to raise that much money, and I had to do all these quests to raise that money. And I don't like those type of quests, because it's just, it has no meaning. It doesn't contribute to the story or to the narrative at all.
But what was the end for?
You had to pay some lady to get some information, so you could infiltrate a base. The story is very thick. There's a lot of dialogue in this, and I got a little tired of that too. I ended up clicking through a lot of it just because it was so heavy. And the combat's fun. The combat's great. It's a lot like XCOM or anything else that you play, like tactical RPG. And I did enjoy that part, but I felt like it was spread out just a little bit too much. And they did kind of balance it a little bit compared to Shadowrun Returns. I got lucky, and I spent my points wisely. I went Decker and Rigger.
It's called experience, buddy. It wasn't luck.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times when I play games, I won't spend talent points until I need them. Because a lot of times it's happened
before. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Bobby's a thinker.
I've been fucked before, man.
You guys have no idea how long it took us to get the stream going.
Yeah.
He checks every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's still running. I haven't checked on it in a minute.
I love the world of this world.
This setting. Did you finish it, Jeff? No, you got stuck.
I played the original.
Yeah, you got stuck in that.
I got stuck at the very end.
Oh, it was the very end?
Yeah, the very end.
The first one was a lot more challenging, too. This was easy by comparison.
Well, you were using the Decker Rigger.
No. See, that that was a difficult choice for me, because I wanted to do Decker again, because I just felt like that was natural, but I also wanted
Decker
to have
Decker is the one that...
He's like the hacker, pretty much. Yeah. And in Returns, he was pretty much useful, so that's why I started getting into Rigger, and he was more useful in combat, and it worked out really well for me. In this, there's a lot of opportunities for each class. No matter what you pick, you can find a use for them.
That's good.
But when I started this, I was like, I want to have a different experience. I don't want to just do the same thing I did last time. So I went...
Could you carry your character if you wanted to?
I thought you could, too. And apparently you can't.
I always pick the wrong class. This one, I picked Shaman, and I couldn't stand it.
Well, that's what I did this time. I went Shaman, but I ended up putting all my points into submachine guns.
So you weren't a shaman?
No. My plan
I'm
was...
I'm a shaman. Exactly. Get your herbs ready, bitches.
Well, my plan was to build up some kind of synergy between a shaman with haste and the submachine gun, so I could just have all these action points, run around the map, and get right in people's faces, mow them down, and then run back to cover. That was my plan. Did not work. I had to put all my points into submachine gun just to be useful, and never ended up doing anything with the spell casting.
Spirit bullets.
Yeah.
They have like kind of summon spells and stuff as a shaman.
There's a lot of different directions you can go with a shaman.
I didn't like it at all.
And you really got to pick one and do it, because if you try to do two things, you aren't going to do either of them well, and you aren't going to be effective. And you work as a team in this, and they have a lot more emphasis on the team in this game compared to Shadowrun Returns.
It's so weird. It's kind of a credit that you can do that. It's like, I'm a mage. Oh, yeah, we're going to spells. Well, I have a shotgun. it's a credit to the game that you can do that, I guess. But also, that's a lot to think about.
Yeah. Well, you can actually create a character that doesn't have any... He's not a shaman or a decker or anything. You just choose your own points. And a lot of people who play this a lot, they do that. And they come up with their own builds.
And you know this because...
I read a lot on the forums when I was playing this, because I did my research.
Oh, he's smart. No, he knew exactly what to pick and when to pick it.
Yep.
At minute 42.5, you put your fifth point into it.
There's not a lot of information on this game out there, though. There's not even a complete walkthrough of this game online.
What?
Hello, DL Gaming walkthrough, yeah. Dragonfly. You could have done it.
How much is this?
$14.99. I want to say. I'm not 100% sure on that. I got this game for free because I had already purchased Shadowrun Returns.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I have that game. So
Shadowrun Returns. Did you buy it?
Did I get this for free?
Maybe. I don't know. If you had it for free when this came out. Then you might have got it. Yeah, $14.99 is the retail price for it. overwhelmingly positive reviews. And on Metacritic, this game got 92.
The Metacritic 92
on Metacritic. That's it. I mean, a 92 is like Half-Life 2. Half-Life 2 got like a 91 or a 94. You do not see games in...
No, Skyrim with a 96.
Skyrim at 96?
I got to mention it at some point.
And who makes this game again?
Harebrained Schemes. It was a Kickstarter. This is the right game they've made. Yeah.
So the fact that they started from nothing and made this game...
it's impressive. Yeah. It's a good game. I don't mean to downplay it and say that it isn't. But I think coming off... Choose one or the other to play. Play this or play Shadowrun Returns, but... It got too closely together.
So 6 months. The story doesn't carry over at all. You can play this as just a standalone and
get everything. The story doesn't carry over. However, there is
some tie-ins or whatever.
There is a few tie-ins,
callbacks,
and you have to look for them too. They aren't very obvious.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the same universe.
Bob, at the end of your analysis of every game, it'd be nice at the very end if you just said, "Get this game" or "Don't get this game." But I can't tell. It's all negative. And then the next week you'll be like, no, I really like it.
I ride the fence.
Is it worth $14.99?
I don't know. I don't like to talk prices because that depends
on your budget. He's riding the fence, dude. He just told you.
I don't know.
No, it is a good game. I mean, obviously, it got a 92 on Metacritic. This is a very good game. I just don't think I was in the mood for it. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I had a week off from work, and I was like, all right, this is a great time to get this game in. I've been meaning to do it for a while, and I finally did, and... It wasn't that different from Returns. And I guess I was expecting more, but it's still great.
I bet that's what it was, dude. Because when people ask me how a movie was or something like that, I always give a little bit of leeway to, maybe I was just having a great day that day, or maybe I was having a terrible day.
You must have great days a lot, because you love every single movie you see.
I'm loving life over here.
I would guess so.
Yeah. But I think that's what it comes down to. I was just not in the mood for it.
Okay.
Cool. So we played something together. We played Aliens Colonial Marines.
Well, you guys did.
Yeah,
we did. I just heard you guys.
When I say together, I'm talking about the core team. Not the orbital third entity.
Yeah.
And is it as bad as everybody says it is?
Nah. I don't think so. It's bad. It definitely has glaring...
So you're going to say it's better than people say. Bobby's going to say, yes, it was terrible.
No.
So the Bobby truth said, is somewhere in between.
Bobby
you guys.
Said, not that bad. And I think that's what the developers were going for.
No,
not the game, not the worst game in the world. That's what he said.
Not the worst game in the world, which a lot of people act like it is.
Yeah.
But we played it, and I was like, this doesn't seem that bad. And then I played it again today with someone else. They were in Japan, and I was playing, I think they were hosting, and there was a lot more lag, and a lot of the issues were more apparent, and it got really frustrating. There is some really big problems with this game, technically.
The very first alien I ran into when I was playing by myself, got its head stuck in a wall, and I just raped it with the shotgun. And I was just like, this is what it... But once I started getting into it, and when the game's playing the way they intended it to play, you're like, this is the best thing I could say about this. Alien Isolation was a spiritual successor to Alien. It was very creepy and slowly paced.
Yes.
This is a perfect, not perfect, well, in its spirit, successor to Aliens, which is a...
The action movie.
Splashes and of acid everywhere and Marines yelling and all that stuff. You could see where they wanted to go. You could see what they wanted to do. When you're playing with your buddies, it makes it a little bit better, but it is a frustrating game.
Is it scary at all?
No. Well, I don't know, because when we...
I got scared a couple... Well, you play by yourself.
It was definitely not Alien Isolation. Okay. Not at all. There's so much action that you don't really have a chance to let the fear build up in any situation.
They're just constantly coming at you. They're really hard to see, though. They're made of darkness, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, so...
That's the hardest part.
And they run on the walls and shit.
What was the Metacritic? 45, wow.
Yeah.
I would have given it. But see, we're playing the patched version of this game.
You guys are playing the best version of it.
Right.
Yeah, I expected a little bit more. Like, I thought, this happens with games. They have problems at release, and then they patch it, and things are fine. This game came out February 11th, 2013. So it's been well over a year. So
you were expecting more polish at this point?
Yeah. There were some really glaring defects in this game technically, but you know, like Emilio said, when the game plays like it should, it's not that bad. I mean, even when it plays like it should, it's not a great game. It's not amazing or really even that good. It's just very run-of-the-mill, ordinary.
Well, I'm a bit biased because I think I said it before. Aliens is probably my favorite just genre or whatever, story or canon. I love the whole
universe.
So for me, hearing the pulse ray for roll out, I would say if you're a fan of the aliens, just it's worth getting through the drudging through the shit parts just for the experience.
The aliens look terrible in this game, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. They look very generic. They could be anything. They could be dinosaurs. They could be zombies. It doesn't really matter. They're just things that run at you and you shoot them down really quick.
Yeah.
They don't even have sound that I'm thinking about. They don't even hiss at you.
Yeah.
When you die, there's so many glitches. I'm not going to name the glitches. There's a bunch of glitches.
Yeah, well, it was on sale for $3, which is why...
It's $3. Yeah. And it was worth the $3.
Oh, for sure. For $3, it's game of the year for me.
Like, over Dragon Age.
It's probably the best $3 I've ever spent ever.
Wow. Yeah. That's a bold statement.
Yeah.
That should be our official review on that. We should put this under our curator tab. Best $3
you could ever spend. Yeah.
$3 game of the year.
It wasn't even $3. It was like $2.75.
Did you guys actually beat the game?
We were about to.
You guys were talking about some puzzles, right?
No.
You guys were like trying to figure out something, and then one of your viewers was telling you that...
We played this the day that Steam broadcasting started, so we had some people watching and giving us pointers, and they weren't puzzles, and Emilio and I discovered that when we work together, we become even stupider as a whole. Then
you add me to any equation and it just adds to the chaos.
Like, for either of us to figure something out wouldn't take very long. You put us together and it'll take us like half an hour, but yeah, we were having some difficulty.
Is that drunk?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you were.
Very.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were having some difficulty with one part, and someone watching the stream was able to help.
There's your answer. So there was puzzles? I'm like, no, there was no puzzles. He's like, yeah, there was. There's your answer right there. I just waited, and then doors opened, eventually.
Gotcha.
I was fiddling my gun until the door opened.
Yeah.
Okay, so a game that all three of us played was the Yogg.
Yogg, yes. I forgot.
We played this after last week's recording.
Yeah.
Ted, I feel like you're going to shit all over this game.
No, I'll shit a lot on it. I'm not sure if I'm covering the entire game with shit. It's basically a choose-your-own-adventure, I guess, is the closest thing I could think of.
I had a great analogy for this, and I forgot what they're called. Did you want to hit a point first before I go into a completely different direction? Okay, I'll do it. There are these things that kids used to play with, at least when I was back in elementary school, where you would play a game, like you would count a number and you would move your fingers.
Yeah,
if you watch the show Community, the intro has one of these in it. Do you know what those are called, Albert?
No.
You know, you see like your future, like who you're going to marry.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, pick a number 1 through 4 and you go 1, 2, 3, 4 and you move your fingers.
Yeah, and then you paper. Pick two of the things that are now open and you pick one of them and then you do it again.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little paper thing that you make, like paper, like origami almost, and you write answers and different things and you choose a random number and you get one answer. Watch the intro for the show Community and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But that's what this game felt like to me.
Those things don't have a name.
There it is, right there.
Yeah, those things don't have a name.
Paper fortune teller.
Paper fortune teller.
They're paper fortune tellers, but yes. I've been trying to tell you.
That's what this game is. That is the Yogg. You give a few answers, and then it tells you your fortune.
There's us playing in the corner.
Yeah, that's us. I should have made that one.
So you basically don't play this game. You
make decisions.
You can pass a controller around, but you don't really... None of the things that you do seem to make a difference, right? Like
No, for sure, dude. You get a choice between two things, and you might score or you might fail.
How do you win, though? You can't win this game.
No, you can. If we didn't have the town drunk last week, which was Bobby.
Well, you took my job.
Yeah.
I was going to be the mayor.
So the Yogg comes. It's never explained what the Yogg is. And
you probably need to get closer to the...
Yeah. Mic. Why don't you just yell from across the room over there? I'm sure that'll work. Well, let's explain what this game does first. You have 6 days until the Yogg shows up. In those 6 days, each player can make a decision on how they want to spend their time. They can go to a location and they can do a certain thing. Something may happen and you make a decision on how you're going to react to that. And after you do this six times, the Yogg comes and you have to rebuild the town and you accumulate stats as you make these decisions. And then based on your stats, you choose what would be your best job. The town mayor, the town drunk,
doctor, construction.
And like the one we're talking about, the one we really tried to make the best town. Chad went like doctor and I went like physician, or no, like mage or alchemist.
Alchemist, yeah.
Yeah, and Bobby's like, I'm just going to go for town drunk. And so you get like these ratings. It said, was really good for the construction of the town, was really good for the, and then Bobby's like, was very poor for the spirit of the town.
Yeah, it tells you how much you're helping the town.
But at the same time...
But can you win this game?
I think if you get a really good town, I would call that winning. But here's the thing. Maybe for Bobby fucking up our game, that was him winning.
I didn't mean to fuck up the game. I just didn't know what else to do.
I'm just saying, for a shitty kind of person that wanted to fuck something up, maybe that would be winning for him. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not
pointing fingers at him.
I want the game to say, you win. I don't want this metaphorical, oh, did you win or did you not? I want a game that says, God damn it, you won this game. Here's your high score or whatever. Like,
no, I see what you're saying. It's not black and white.
Does this game not have that?
You get different outcomes based on the decisions that you make. And I guess the best possible outcome would be that you rebuild the town entirely, like back to its former glory. And
I would consider that one.
Yeah. I don't know if we ever did that either. Like, I don't think we got it, like, exactly, like, the highest that we could.
And even if you make all the right decisions, doesn't mean that you're going to win. Because I feel that they have a 50-50 way they could go.
Yeah.
And you can't control any of that, so.
I was frustrated by this game because this was, like, the definition of a circle jerk. Like, I felt like we were just passing the controller around. The decisions I made, I don't know if they... Like, you could pick one and it would be good, or you could pick one and it would be bad. It kind of... You don't even know what your stats are going to affect. And then at the end of the day, it doesn't tell you how well you did.
It was not a good payoff.
I felt like there was no...
I felt like I was doing well if I accumulated a lot of stat points. And then I feel well if I contributed to a good part to the rebuilding.
And then I got twice as mad when I found out how much this game costs. How much is this game? Like $15 or something like that?
It was $10, I think you got it for. But anyway, I don't know, man. I thought it was cute. I thought the art could be a lot better. If you're going to have single frames, I know people personally that could have drawn this better. So, I mean, if you're going to have single frames and no animations at all, why not have better art?
I think they were going for like that 70s cartoon look, like the original Hobbit movie. I think they were going for something very simplistic. Almost like a child's storybook kind of look to it. You know, something you would read at a very young age.
And you got to give credit where credit's due, Chad. You wanted to keep playing. If it wasn't Saturday night and we didn't have to be somewhere, we would have been playing.
I was just mad that we didn't get to a conclusion. Like, I was mad that I kept waiting for something to happen at the end. Like,
what has a little bit of roguelike, we think, because something that Bobby's character did the first game showed up the second game, and it didn't happen to any all because he turned into a werewolf the first game, and he did not in the second game. But they made a mention of it in the second game that he played, which shouldn't have had any bearing to it. So I don't know if the characters themselves have a progression.
I don't know.
So that was, if that truly is in the game, that's pretty cool. But I would have gladly played it for another hour. 3-4 more.
I couldn't recommend this game less.
Yeah.
I couldn't recommend this game less.
That's a no from Chad. Now, I could have kept playing this, but I think it would have worn thin after a while. Like, I think a few more. We played through it, what, twice? I think it was twice.
Three or four times.
I don't think it was that many. Really?
Yeah, we played through three times.
We played three times. I
very
think two
positive.
More times.
Steam has given it a very positive review.
And Metacritic is 66, though.
82% out of 523 users. User score on Metacritic is 7.8, too. So people apparently like this, but I don't know. I think people played it three times and then jumped and to write a review of it, and you know, didn't think about like, does this really have any
replay value?
Yeah, replay value,
which is probably its biggest problem.
I think the one thing I did like was the concept of the pass and play.
Yeah,
but we're all sitting here reading the story together. And we
even on
our
third game, yeah. We didn't even pass the control. I just did the controls for everybody to speed things up.
Well, we could have brought all controllers out, too.
I like that concept. If they could have packaged it around something that was better than this, I would have enjoyed it. But what I got right here, and there was times when there's little funny things and stuff like that.
We were constantly like chuckling, maybe little giggles here
like
and there.
You're not laughing out loud on this.
No.
But you
it was like, oh.
But I think... Yeah. I think it is a little small of a scope here. This is a very one-dimensional game. This feels like something you would do in addition to something else in a game. This feels like a little mini-game.
This and drink. Oh, I thought you meant like do this and do something else at the same time.
No, I mean, yeah, you could do that.
It's like a party game.
Yeah. Well, let me give you an example. There was this old Nintendo game. It was like an Olympics game. And the game was playing all the different Olympic sports. But as you were playing the Olympic sports, you also had the marathon, which was this overarching game that you've got to make decisions every so often, and your decisions
track and field.
It might, I don't know if it was track and field, I think it was like US Olympics or something. It was for the original Nintendo, but that's kind of what this felt like. It felt like something that would have been better served as part of a different, like a bigger game.
Oh, and by the way, good luck getting a good ending. It's like, yeah, you saved a lot of people and you helped the town, but you died of fucking syphilis in the corner, and people are. And nobody cared.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, even if you do well, it's like, it's got to slight you at the end.
It's true.
Right?
It's true.
I think even Bobby was like, you went off and you started a carnival, and it was very successful, and you became very rich, but after a while, people didn't like the carnival anymore, and they got bored with it, and you struggled, and now you're poor.
Yeah.
There you go.
A little depressing.
The only one that had a positive one was, like, the town drunk, I think. Wasn't it? Or the looter?
The town drunk, when I was the town drunk, it said, well, you got real drunk for a while, and then you pulled it together and did something to help the town. Like, eventually I came around, apparently.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of points built up in charisma and some other stuff as well.
One of the ones that made me chuckle was somebody got away before the Yogg came or something, and he went to another town, but they had their own thing called the Ziggarg or whatever, and it came and killed you, so you're fucked no matter what. Who knows what the Yogg is, though?
What are we doing on time? Are we still going through this list, or?
I think we're doing okay on time.
Okay.
So, Bobby, tell me what Abyss Odyssey is.
Yeah.
Abyss Odyssey. Okay. I changed my opinion on this game recently, too, so here we go. Abyss Odyssey is the fourth game from Ace Team, the development studio out of Chile, and I really liked the previous games, Rock of Ages and Xenoclash 1 and 2. Abyss Odyssey is a side-scrolling, side-scroller brawler, beat-em-up kind of game. But it's also a roguelike. You start at the very top on the surface, and you work your way down this cavern to eventually defeat a warlock. And, you know, you go through, you make a little progress, you get a few upgrades, you unlock a character. It's your typical roguelike. And it's got a lot of the same artistic direction that Ace Team's previous games
had. Weird shit, right?
Yeah, very surrealistic, Salvador Dali kind of shit.
It's called Weird Shit.
Yeah, Weird Shit. That is the actual name of it. But it's not as noticeable in this because the characters are smaller and it's not a first-person kind of game. You don't feel like you're inside an environment. It's got a little bit different of a feel for it. I think I spent 8 hours on this game. I beat it twice, and I don't know if there's anything more that I could do with this. I could continue to level up my characters, but why?
Is that co-op?
Mm-hmm. And the co-op is fun. I like the co-op a lot, and that's you almost need to do that to be able to beat the game. But you have to have friendly fire on, and that makes it really difficult. Pretty much what happens is one person fights the bad guys while the other person waits, and then you take turns. You can turn off friendly fire, but then you can't place on the leaderboards, and I don't know, there might be...
Is that a slight, or did you like that? I mean, it's more realistic.
Yeah, I guess it is. I didn't think I liked it as much, though.
It's hard with a side scroller, though, to not hit each other.
Like, yeah, that's what he's saying. You take turns.
Couldn't fight.
There's not a lot of room on the screen. There really isn't. I don't know. It was an enjoyable game. I liked it. The combat feels a little stiff. But
yeah, combat looks simplistic. Overly simplistic.
Yeah, you get three special moves, which you can upgrade individually, but I don't know.
You really, really liked this game the first week.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. But then, you know, if 8 hours is all a game can give me, that's for a game like this, like to complete absolutely right. everything to feel like you've had
right.
the entire experience.
Unlike Binding of Isaac, who has infinite replay value.
Yeah, you can keep going and going on that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Bobby played, by the way.
Yeah, and yeah, I did play Rebirth. And I played very little of the original Binding of Isaac, so...
All our hype.
How far did you get?
Didn't get you to play it, huh?
No, he said it was fun. Oh, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one. No, I don't know why I didn't play it, but I did beat it. I beat Mom, but I know that's not really the end of the game. You keep playing right. more and more.
I think you have to beat Mom character. Like 4 or 5 times, and then...
Well, you beat Mom once, and then the heart opens up, and then all your progressive games, at that point, you have the heart.
Yeah.
So...
But you know, you legitimately beat the game the first time. Like a pussy.
Yeah, I'll probably continue to play it. It's a great little game if you just want to pick up and have a few runs at it.
That's it, man. Yeah. That's it. It's the best casual game.
For Abyss Odyssey, how much was Abyss Odyssey?
So I'm kind of intrigued. I would like to play through it once.
No, yeah. And I would go back to this game if someone else was playing it. Like, I would totally do co-op, but it's only 2-player co-op. You can buy a 2-pack in it, and it's a little bit cheaper, but I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the price is. $14.99? Nah, it can't be that much. Let's see.
So, Dead Air is great.
Yeah, that works too. $14.99 for the game. This okay.
Is that on sale?
No. That is not on
That's the whole price.
I saw it for $9.99. I was like, Bobby really wants me to play this. And I was like, $10 is a lot of money for this.
Well, the 2-pack you can get for $24.99, $12.50 each. That's not too much better. But, yeah, I don't know. When this game goes on sale, all Ace Team's games go on sale for ridiculously cheap or become part of a bundle. You could buy Xeno Clash for like $1 or something at one point.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this game will be just as cheap fairly soon.
They're really cool about that. They're like... Okay, we already made our profits. This is just icing on the cake. Let's make it really cheap.
Yeah,
which is cool. Speaking of which, speaking of cheap, I got Metro 2033 for free. Jesus gave it to me. It's the first time Jesus ever gave me anything. I meant Jesus.
Religious burden.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, it's a free game. This thing's gonna fucking suck. For some reason, I think that the Metro games, I equate them with the other... There's another Russian game but it's more like...
Stalker?
Yeah, Stalker. Yeah. And I hated Stalker. People love Stalker.
Yeah.
And I tried playing that game, and it just seemed like dog shit to me. Everything was brown. The entire game was brown.
Yeah. I never played it, but it did look very unappealing.
Yes. And I wouldn't recommend it. I didn't see anything there.
I thought the games were related, like same developer or something.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's why I never played 2033.
Exactly. And so, but here's a diamond in the rough. Yeah, I got this free game. It's a bit dated because it came out in 2010. This is actually gameplay. It's kind of a cutscene, but you're also playing through it. Things are going to happen no matter what you do, but I didn't know that, so I was fighting for my life. But then the scripted events do happen, and you can't help it, but I didn't know. So I was like, oh, fuck, I've died. Oh, wait, I didn't die? And I liked it. This game has great lighting. For 2010, I was blown away. I was like, how'd this get under my radar? Mm-hmm. But it's exactly what we're talking about. I put it in the Stalker category.
Yeah, you associated it with that game. Yeah. Because it looks very similar.
What's the storyline on this? Because it seems like
so it's creatures. Post-apocalyptic, and all the Russian people moved into the sewers in the major metropolis, right? So all the major cities. But they don't communicate with each other, so they don't know that they're alive. They hope that the other ones are alive, I think. Is that how it goes? And that's one of the strongest points in this game. They did a really good job of a little bit of action with a little bit of storytelling. And when I'm walking through the sewer, through the metro, and, you know, people have their little apartments and stuff, it really does feel... This is a single-player game. It really felt like a bunch of people living in the sewer and, like, having a good time. And everybody's a little... Maybe a little too jolly for what's going on. There's mutants everywhere, and everybody's in the sewer.
So these are mutants because they're looking like four-legged dogs and stuff.
Like that. They're like, they call them the Dark Ones or creepers, and so they don't really know what they are. I don't think they were formerly humans. I think it's just what happened, what evolved after the war.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they're creepy as fuck, man. And they're loud. Loud and scary. They could be 50 feet away from you, and it feels like it's right behind you because it echoes through the hallways. They nailed the lighting. They nailed the atmosphere. It is very, very
good. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. Look, dude, it's not going to blow you away, but this is 2010. I wish, if I had played this in 2010, it probably would have been my favorite game. I'm definitely going to continue to play this. It's filling my first-person niche perfectly.
Well, wasn't there a sequel to this also?
Metro Last Light. Which was amazing, too.
Yeah, a really good game. And, Bobby, you said that you would have rather played this first and then that one, because this one was a little more backstory.
Yeah.
This sets the scene.
Exactly. Well, this is actually, Last Light, I think, is a continuation of this game. It goes in successive order. So, yeah, they kind of picked up Last Light like I knew what the hell was going on.
So I thought maybe I'm going crazy. So I looked up the Metacritic and all that. Really good scores, too. So it was like 91 on Metacritic and 4.5 on something else, so out of 5. So everybody else liked it. Somehow it escaped me. I didn't see the reviews. I don't know.
Is this a Russian developer then?
Yeah, this is 4A Games, and the same people that did Last Light. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can think of with why people are so happy is maybe they're all drinking vodka. They're all drinking vodka and playing music, and the guards are. And every once in a while, you'll hear the guards fight off some shit that's trying to kill. It does feel like some people living in a sewer defending against mutants.
So the regular price on this is $15, $14.99. Would you say that it's worth $14.99?
I got it for free, and so it was a super steal. Yeah, I would have paid $15 for this. Okay. Yeah, for sure. It's a really good game.
12 to 15 hours of gameplay, probably, something like that?
I can only speculate. I've put in about 2, maybe 3.
Okay. I think I spent 12 on Metro. And I was annoyed when that Metro Redux came out. I hate when that happens. I play a game, and then less than a year later, they come out with like a revamped version.
It's a better version.
Yeah, and they want you to pay for it. I mean, they give you a little bit of a discount, but I'm not going to play the entire game again. It's not even the money at that point. It's just the time.
And I got to say that I do enjoy seeing another culture's point of view on video games. So often do we see American and Japanese, and that seems to flood the market.
Yeah.
And British games don't seem too far apart. You can't tell the difference between... Rockstar might as well be an American. But then you see the Russian point of view, and they do things better. They fall flat on some things, but on other things, it's like, oh, I don't think anybody's ever thought about that, you know? That in any game that I've played about. So, yeah, I can't recommend it enough, really. If you can get it for under $10, that would be a steal. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check this
and out. Depending on how good Last Light is, or saying how good Last Light is, I'm glad that I played this one first so that I can play that one after.
Yeah.
And the redo, and I can skip over Bobby's mistake. Hello.
All right. So we're at about an hour. So what other games we got here?
Well, let's talk about Borderlands just real quick.
Are you having fun? I'm wanting to finish games so we could say that we finish.
So, once I get in and start playing the game, I'm having a good time. It's mm-hmm. just one of those things that sometimes I'm like... Sometimes I struggle with just getting in there. It just seems like a lot of work. And so, then we get in...
But it's not.
But it's one of these games. It's one of these games that you can spend as much time as you... You could spend hundreds of hours.
Hundreds of hours. I have a friend that has put 300 hours in this game.
And that's what kind of gets overwhelming, but we're just basically playing through the storyline, so
yeah.
I'm enjoying it that way, although we are behind the curve, and so we're having to struggle because we're not high enough level
right. to be where we're at. Because we're skipping all the side quests, and we're walking away from enemies just to finish the game. So we're fighting things that are 2-3 levels above us, and especially when a badass comes out, we have a really hard time. Thank God this guy... Shout out to Chaotic.
Chaotic in...
Chaotic something.
Chaotic Infusion or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. He came in, and he was a few levels above us, gave me a weapon that kicks ass, and kind of walked us through a few things, gave it a couple tips. And we got real. I think we're in the last chamber of the last boss, but we had to come here to do this. So
yeah,
I would say it's not like I'm like, wow, this is awesome the whole time, or this is great. But there is a low level of fun throughout. You don't really have highs and lows. It's just good.
Well, the game,
all the way, solid way.
The gameplay is very repetitive. It's the same thing. You've got your gun, you shoot people.
But I don't get bored with it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like that repetitiveness is fun.
Yeah.
But it is repetitive.
Yes.
So you're doing the same thing again and again and again.
But it's okay.
But it's okay because it's fun. So.
But again, not blow your ass out of the seat fun, but fun.
Yeah.
And if you, the real peaks come when a new weapon drops. But really, you know.
But I'm not getting that as much as I felt like I was getting in other Borderlands. Are you feeling
that? Yeah, well, we were looking for, I think we were scouring more. Now we're just kind of running through. We're not really looking for chests.
Yeah, but still, like, we're using, like,
the shift codes.
The shift codes.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm only doing it so we can get through the game. Otherwise, I wouldn't have touched them. Shift codes are things that the company gives out so that you get these things called golden keys so you can open the golden chest. You can open the golden chest over and over and over so long as you have a key, and it'll give you really, really good stuff.
But at your level.
At your level.
So you don't want to spend them early.
Right.
Because they'll just go bad.
So every once in a while, when we fall behind, we go over to the chest and we open it up because I have like 4 or 5 shift codes. I don't know how many I have. And we open it up and we get upgraded. So, that kind of, it's almost the same thing that the auction house presented in Diablo 3, where it takes away the loot piñata whole, it takes away the whole reason we're here is random shit dropping, you getting happy, winning the lottery, right?
That's what the fun in this game is.
Right. But this last one that we got a shield mod, and that doesn't feel like, oh, it's really, let's be honest, the big fucking glowy orange guns is what you're after.
Yeah. And we haven't gotten any orange guns at this point.
Not even one.
We've seen one in a.
Yeah, you could buy it if us and 72 other people fucking put money together.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
So expensive.
We have like 12,000 and the thing's going for $183,000.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So. Yeah, but we'll wrap this up this coming week, and, you know, I'll give my last thoughts on it next week. But.
Yep. I like that when we're talking about this, it's like flopsy. I can see you. That's you.
Right there, kind of. I'm dancing.
It's cool, finally.
I'm not planning to pick up any of the DLC.
No, nor I. No.
Yeah.
And not to say that I regretted buying the DLC for the Part 2. Part 2 is just a better game.
Yeah, 2 is just...
like a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to play one Borderlands, you're playing 2.
2. You're playing 2.
You're playing 2.
Don't play 1 so you can play 2. Just play 2.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of DLC, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Amelia, you also played Rayman Origins. Now, this is not... or was it Legends? I'm sorry.
No, I played Origins.
Origins.
Yeah. I thought I was buying Legends. Not yet. So I was like, oh, this thing's on sale for $4. This is the best platformer in the last 5 years from everything that I've heard. Let me pick it up real quick. Although, this isn't too far behind. This got something like a 91 and... Rayman Legends got like a 94. So it's not that much, but it also, it's 3 years later and 3 years of development.
Yep.
So that I'm missing out on. It wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. I played it with my girl on co-op. We had a good time and we were like, yeah, you having
fun? How often were you like, babe, just jump there?
No, like, dude, she's better than me. A lot of the time. Yeah. I'm really impressed sometimes. It's crazy.
And with the controller, too, I'm surprised because people who have not gamed before usually struggle more with the controller than they do with the keyboard.
Well, I'm on the keyboard because I only have one controller. Mm-hmm. I'm on the keyboard, and so that's why she's better than me because she's on a controller.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But over and over, like throughout, where I was like, you having fun? Yeah, I'm having fun, but I'd be having more fun on Battle Block Theater, which we had a lot of fun on, mm-hmm. or having more fun on Isaac, which we really enjoy playing together. So I can't get Legends. You know what? I'm not a big platformer guy.
Yeah.
What is what it comes down to. But I do like Battle Black Theater. So, I don't know. It's somewhere. It's really cool. Somebody on Mushrooms definitely wrote this up. They were fucking... it's so odd.
Is it a French game? Because it looks... it's got that kind of feel like... kind of a
I can see what you're saying.
You know, I don't know. There's
I don't know
like
what it is.
A certain style that speaks French to me. I don't know.
We'll end on highly stylized.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
Bobby loves it.
What isn't highly stylized these days?
Seriously. Man, we played a lot this week.
Yeah.
You guys did.
I was awesome all week.
I played WoW mostly, but you know, I don't have a whole lot to add on that.
Yeah, I go, hey, chat, and I go,
This is more WoW.
Yeah, it's more WoW.
Wow.
So
Steam introduced broadcasting this week.
And we tried it out. Well, yeah. We missed it early on, Alien Isolation.
Yeah, this is great. I'm loving it.
So easy.
Yeah, and the simplicity is what I really admire about this. So you can go to anyone's Steam profile and just click on Watch Game. It'll pop up in their window and say, so-and-so wants to watch you, and you can accept that. Or you can set your setting to just let anybody watch my game.
Is that why I couldn't get in when I was trying to select Watch Game for you guys?
For me, you should be able to. I have mine set so anybody can watch me play whenever.
He's a voyeur.
You mean a...
Video game voyeur.
No, voyeur would be the opposite.
Oh, you're right. You're an exhibitionist.
Exhibitionist.
Yeah. He just not quite.
Throws his video game wang out there.
Chad's the voyeur.
For all to see.
Want to watch!
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love this. And I love the simplicity. That's what I really like about this.
No third party app. Well, I guess Steam is a third party app itself. But yeah. There's no fourth party, or whatever you want to say.
You don't need OBS.
You don't need OBS or any of that shit.
I mean,
it just works.
If you're used to using Twitch, it may seem a little stripped down compared to what you're used to. There's no moderators. There is a chat room.
No webcam.
No webcam. There's not a lot of support for a lot of different things, but I like that they just have it simple. I don't know if they're going to add more features later or if they plan to keep it this way, but I would almost be in favor of them keeping it this way. You can even go to a games hub and click on the broadcasting tab and find people streaming there. And it's great if you're interested in purchasing a game and you want to see what the gameplay... It's like watching a live gameplay footage or a live Let's Play. You know, you just watch someone play a game. It's not necessarily about building an audience like Twitch is and having a bunch of people watch you and having an event. It's more just like, hey, watch so-and-so. Oh, so-and-so is playing this. I wonder what level they're on. I wonder how they're doing.
So often, and Chad lives in... He's in the next room. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, was he playing? I would love to just push a button instead of walking over there. Because you don't really get... a full screen is a way better experience. Yeah.
No, this is the equivalent of just looking over someone's shoulder
and
seeing what they're playing.
Can you hear the mic?
You can enable that, yeah.
Okay. So you can do mic support, but not...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Here's kind of off topic. Do you feel that you play better or worse when people are watching you?
Oh, much worse, especially if I'm interacting with people and talking. It's not that I play worse, but I'm more distracted. I can't get involved in the story at all. If it's a scary game, it's not scary anymore because other people are there and talking to me. Or if it's like a plot point, I'll miss it because I'm just distracted. It's like driving while you're talking to someone.
Yeah.
Or like texting and driving.
I get like paranoid because after that video that Bobby posted up with me and Smite, like now I like...
God damn it. God damn it. God damn it. Look at God damn it.
You aren't even doing a video of justice.
Yeah. Yeah, so after that, like, I get paranoid every time we play with Bobby that I have to like...
So you're being recorded.
I got a good one of Emilio, too.
Oh, yeah.
The war face.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Look up Emilio's Too Drunk to Play and have at it.
But... I think they're doing this because they're trying to compete with Xbox Live and PlayStation has some sort of sharing.
And Twitch, to be honest.
Well, Twitch is different. I think this is really different than Twitch.
Except for they're both on PCs. The only platforms on PCs.
Well, I'm looking at this kind of as a Steam Box thing. If you're coming out with a Steam Box, you're going to have the same features that an Xbox or PlayStation has. And one of those features is streaming your gameplay or sharing your gameplay easily. So this seems like another little badge for the Steam Box, something that makes it a little more viable. So maybe that's probably why they started working on this. I don't know if that's the sole reason that they came out with this. I mean, obviously it has great use just in Steam in general.
We can speculate on why they did it, but it's just good.
This is awesome. It's long overdue. I'm glad they finally did it. And I prefer this over Twitch as well, you know. Yeah, I don't think I have the tits for Twitch, really.
No,
I think that's
true.
What it comes down to.
Chad does.
I do.
Chad. All right, being the goody two-shoes that you are, what's your whole take on YouPorn picking up a team? Oh, in case you guys were wondering on stream why I keep getting up, there's a fire over there. I've been constantly putting it out.
Yeah.
And I'm about to get up again.
These are the dudes that are on the YouPorn team?
Yeah, I guess so. They didn't put porn on their
Sure.
It says YP.
YP.
It says YP. And they've got kind of a pink theme that goes along with the viewpoint.
Yeah.
Why is that, Chad?
I mean,
what else is pink?
I've heard.
No, no, I'm just saying, what else is pink that you're trying to...
for those who may not know.
So, the story, I mean, basically the news is... A porn site is now sponsoring a gaming group, and they're what game is? Are they Counter Strike? I forget what game they're playing.
Are they? I have no idea.
Anyway, so they now have an esports team, and there's a little Dota 2. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. There's a little not controversy, but you know, is it okay that a porn site? Because porn has always been a fringe sort of thing. Even Playboy, when they do their kind of thing, they, you know, they stick to kind of the... So, I think I'm okay with this. Like, you know, it's your business, and I think there is some synergy between gaming and porn just because they are both heavy computer activities on the most part.
The top two things you use your computer for.
Yeah, exactly.
Porn
exactly.
and gaming. Yeah.
So... I think I'm okay with this, and it, I mean, it seems tastefully done. It's not like they got fucking tits on their shirts or anything like that. Like it's just a, you know, they're just like any other business.
Guys, now, you're gonna have to put this in under your shirts just to bust you up a little bit.
I think one of the things that helps them out is gaming still is a little bit of a fringe kind of activity. If you porn try to sponsor maybe a stadium, a football stadium or something. Yeah. Then you'd probably get a lot of backlash. But the fact that they're sponsoring an esports team, you know,
it's a little more acceptable.
I think it's a good way to go.
Here's my own... It's not even that I care, but maybe why people would care more. Don't you have to be 18 to watch porn?
Yeah.
And isn't the majority of people that watch esports maybe under 18? Or right around there, 17, 18?
I would say so. I mean, some of the players are younger than that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is video games, and that's generally marketed towards a younger audience. And then you throw a porn logo on there, it gets a little weird. So I understand why people would have an issue with this. I personally don't care, but I'm not one of those people that just say, hey, whatever, you know, free for all, everybody do what they want. We got to be mindful of that shit. Little kids are impressionable here.
Yeah. Didn't you say Pornhub also had a team or something like that? This wasn't the first team, right, Emilio?
Yes, and they said that they're going to start picking up more teams than every of the major games.
No, but didn't you say another porn
site? I thought that I saw that Pornhub was going to do it, but I could have sworn I saw that before this article. But maybe I got them confused, because I couldn't find anything after that. But I think it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Despite whether or not looking at porn when you're 18 makes it okay, the vast majority of the consumers of porn is probably 14 to 18.
It's a... Yeah.
Yeah.
Gaming is predominantly male.
Yeah.
You know, like, porn...
Whacking is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well...
Come and find out, girls look at porn a lot, too. So... the other thing that kind of happened this week was there was a Counter-Strike tournament, and one of the teams, Fnatic, on it, which is like one of the top teams, they did something that got a lot of people upset. They found an exploit in the overpass map that allowed somebody to get on top of an area that wasn't supposed to be accessible and allowed him to look down on the map and basically see all the movement.
I heard about it.
Of the other team, and just stop the other team.
It's really, really... It's a very fine line. Because I watched the video, and there wasn't clipping. He wasn't really seen through a wall.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It was just the perfect position, but it was not intended by the designers. And thus... It was a huge tournament,
yeah, it was
right?
A frag...
One of the biggest tournaments.
Yeah. I forget what it's... Frag, it's... I forget what it's called.
What team did this involve?
What's up?
What teams did this involve?
So Fnatic did it, and they did it against LLDC or something.
Okay.
Some
and Fnatic is a really big CSGO team.
Yeah. So basically, it was found out they did this. The other team basically said, you know, told the judges that they were exploiting. There was this discussion, and it was kind of ruled that both teams were doing things that were outside of
the rules. Oh, what was the other team doing? I don't know about that.
The article that I read said that both teams have been shown that both teams were doing exploits. So maybe Fnatic saw them doing something, and so they upped the game a little bit. Anyways, so the ruling came down that they would have to replay the match, and Fnatic, probably because of all the backlash, Fnatic LDLC.
It's really hard to say.
Because of all the backlash, they basically forfeited the match, and this was for.
Oh, they forfeited.
Yeah. This was a $250,000 tournament.
Wow.
And Fnatic, I believe, was you know, favored to win.
I only watched the video. I didn't know about all this other stuff. So they forfeited. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't have an opinion. And that's not because I don't feel strongly about it. I don't have an opinion because I'm right on the fence. I'm on the Bobby. If you that's another
You can see thing. Both sides of the argument.
Right in the fence.
I won't commit.
They call this pixel walking.
Okay, so maybe they were some clipping there.
Well, basically what they're saying is you can't stand on invisible collision. You can't right. utilize invisible collision. And this section that they were on was some invisible collision.
I give them massive credit for forfeiting.
Did you see how they had to get up here? So
yeah, triple jump.
One guy had to stand on a guy's head to jump onto a box because you can't stack up three and have and jump off, right. off that. Then another guy went to a truck close by and kneeled on it. And another guy stood on that guy's head to jump onto the guy that was standing on the box's head to jump up here.
Yeah.
So to be able to get up, it's a cool concept, and I applaud them for doing it. And I'm sure the developer will come in and make adjustments to the map to make sure that it doesn't
happen. That can happen, yeah.
But it brings up kind of an interesting point, like,
I don't even know this map.
If the map is available and you find something like that, is it free game? You know, is it there and you can do it, or do you feel like the sportsmanship of it is out of bounds?
I kind of like that they fucking kept it secret until the tournament too.
Yeah, and so I had heard reports that they had known about it for 2 months.
Yeah,
and
they practiced it like crazy,
and they held on to it.
Yeah.
And that's what got people upset, is what I heard.
Well, it sounds like it was all handled appropriately. I mean, a team found an exploit. I mean, let's be honest, it's an exploit. They used it and they paid the price for it. Go ahead. If you find something like this, utilize it. But don't be surprised.
It doesn't sound like the tournament holders punished these people. It sounds like maybe they got pressured into resigning.
I mean, if they resigned, then yeah, there had to been. I mean, there's got to be a reason that they forfeited the match. But I mean, come on. It's a technicality. I mean, this is not, this is like, I can't think of a good analogy
here.
So
you're using steroids in
performance enhancing.
Yeah, PEDs.
Yeah.
And it's like, what did you expect? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But Counter-Strike seems to be more susceptible to this than any other game. I mean, other games like MOBAs, you have balance issues, but you don't have exploits like this.
Well, Counter-Strike has a much more collision-heavy map,
yeah.
Whereas like WoW or something, you're playing on flat arenas with like maybe one mm-hmm. pillar. Like there's just
it's just the nature of a first-person shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
How many people we got watching?
Yeah.
There's a couple questions that came in. How old are you guys? Because we look old as fuck. I'm 36 as fuck.
I'm 42. Chad's
86.
Yeah,
87.
Yep. No, I'm 35. You're 36.
36, and Bobby's like, 20. He's the baby.
Yeah. 20s.
I'm 31.
31, yeah. That's right. 30. So, we're all in our 30s.
Way too old to be playing video games.
There's no such thing anymore. We're going to be like the first generation that in the retirement home we're going to be playing video games. Like,
yeah, it's funny how
the generational thing is really starting.
So I can play 20 hours a day.
But what?
Wow.
Oh, it will be. But it's funny how there's a if we can get off on a tangent here for a second, there's a generational gap between video gamers now. There wasn't before. Young people play video games, that's it. Now you have old gamers and you have young gamers. And I don't know if you guys watched the last South Park episode, but it kind of addressed some of those some of that topic specifically. Specifically, the whole YouTube commentary PewDiePie thing.
Right.
They were
well. Already, we've been told that we suck fat cocks.
Oh, well, it's the internet.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't too far from the truth either. So,
nice. The fat.
I have yet to find a fat one. One fat enough.
Yeah. Seriously.
I can still get my mouth around this.
You do have a big mouth. Okay.
All right. Tangent so, over. What were we talking about?
No, I want to go off on a tangent as well.
Okay.
Have you guys heard how well old guys do at retirement homes?
Oh, yeah.
Because women last longer.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a big... Well, first of all, at retirement homes, old people fuck like crazy. It's a problem. Like, they spread venereal disease, and they need, like... I've known people who've worked in retirement homes, so I'm privy to this information.
Or you have some webcam set up.
Yeah.
Certain issues.
It's obviously what's going on here.
GrannyNoNo.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right, we can get off that tangent.
Yeah. So, Emil and I watched some Smite. North American Qualifiers. What we like to do, we put it on the Chromecast, sit out in the living room, watch it. And it's like watching a sport. And I sit and we watch it.
Drinking beers, on the couch, watching the TV, watching what I like, real sports.
Yeah.
Esports.
His girl watched a little bit.
Yeah, she's like, what? But she's quick on the pickup, so yeah. she understood it pretty quickly.
Anyways, spoilers.
We enjoy it.
Spoilers, if you guys... I'm going to announce who's going to it. So it's
Cog Red,
Cog Prime out of the U.S., and then Aquila, who's now another Cog team. So Cog Aquila.
So they win this thing in Europe, and Cognitive just goes and picks them up.
Yeah.
So now they're after the tournament. They're Cog Aquila.
Yeah.
Yeah. After the tournament, they're now Cog Aquila.
And then SK Gaming was the fourth one there.
Right.
They're gonna pull one from Latin America.
Oh, it's not two.
No.
Okay.
Two from China, I believe.
Okay.
And I believe there's going to be one more. I believe it's going to round out to eight.
Okay. It should. That's why I was surprised that there were Antarctica Smite players, I guess.
Yeah. Pacific Rim. I don't know. Yeah. Something.
Could be Norwegian.
So, anyways, the
Icelandic.
The World Championships is going to be January 9th through 11th. It's a $1.6 million prize pool right now.
That's legit.
But all of this stuff that they're doing in Smite, this, what do they call it? The World Tour, adds to it. So it's probably going to be up to $2 million by the time the tournament rolls around.
Odyssey,
yeah, yeah. Thank you.
It's a decent prize pool, too.
Yeah.
Is this their first large-scale tournament like this?
No, last year they did, like... 200,000 or something like that.
Yeah, but this is the...
First Worlds. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm like, I'm definitely watching this. Because watching what we watched got me excited for the Worlds. And I was like, okay, I'm going to... And then I got an email and it said it's $24.99. And I was like, oh man, I'm not going to pay $25 to watch it. But apparently the $25 is just if you want to support them more. And if you want to get the extras, which is a couple of skins. But... You can just watch it if you want. So you don't have to pay any extra.
Okay, so it's going to be free, but $25 gives you the deluxe package. Right.
If you got the money and you love Smite, do it, you know?
I'm surprised at how many people I see, because if you go through the Odyssey and they're on like step six or seven now, you have to buy everything, but if you do, you get these like bonus perks and all.
And the skins are awesome. Let's be honest. They did not skimp.
I'm
on
surprised.
These free skins or whatever.
So they've got a border that you have to have bought six things to get this border.
Yeah.
I see that border all the time. Yeah. So people are buying. And weren't you saying like this is the eighth most game?
Third most played game on the internet.
Most played game on the internet. Yeah. So
Here's the thing, man. Think about it. You remember when we were Smite only, pretty much? If we were still Smite only, we'd be scoffing at these prices because we're not paying all these games, all these other things that we're buying. So
yeah,
it's like when you're playing WoW. Does WoW have microtransactions, by the way?
They do.
Cosmetics, right?
They've got
mounts.
They've got mounts and they've got minions, the pets.
Yeah.
The pets you can actually take into the pet battles.
Yeah.
So I guess...
Do they help you in PvE?
No, it's like Pokemon.
It's Pokemon 3v3.
Is it fun?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
It's more like to do it because it's just part of WoW than anything. But people that collect the pets there, you know, have this huge stable to pull from. So, and then the last...
I'm excited about this. I'm excited more about this than the Super Bowl. But that's me.
Depending on who's in the Super Bowl, I might be also.
Yeah.
The last news. It got leaked yesterday, or
and announced today.
So and announced today.
It's no secret. Street Fighter V. The best thing about this is that it's PC and PS4 exclusive. I only say best, not because we're leaving out the Xbox and I hate the Xbox, but PCs on one of the front. So many of the time that we're left for later. Oh, we'll take care of them later. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there day one. I saw some gameplay footage. I wasn't blown away.
It looks like Street Fighter 4, just a little bit more polished.
Yeah. But I also don't think this is the final. I hope this isn't the final cut.
Yeah.
It wasn't as big of a jump than 3 was to 4, than 4 is to 5.
Yeah. Well, 3, they kind of lost their way, and then 4 was kind of like a rebirth.
It was great.
Yeah. But I'm just surprised how long it went from 2 to 3, and then 3 to 4 was a long time, but now 4 to 5 is like immediate.
I think they're starting to realize that saying Street Fighter 4 Hyper Tension Edition with bells and whistles plus alpha, you know, is not the way to go. Now the way to go is Call of Duty. Every year you put out a new one. So you're going to have Street Fighter 6, 7, 8, 9. That's how you're going to get more money. Not doing this whole, like, bit by bit.
Yeah.
That's just that's speculation, obviously.
So we're excited, obviously. You know, we're fighting. Emil and I, like,
we're Street Fighter fans. I wouldn't even say fighting fans. At this point where we're at in our life, I don't know, I love fucking Smash Brothers. Which, by the way, got 9.5.
Yeah, we gotta play that game.
This is traded. Okay, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I think we're at the end here.
Yeah, we're pretty much at the end. So we've been running a little long. Why don't we wrap this up? What's the week ahead going to look like? What games are you guys playing?
Dragon Age. I really got to get into Dragon Age more.
I'm going to get into the real Dragon Age on the PC. And I want to... Oh, no, I'm definitely going to... I'm probably going to beat the whole thing of Game of Thrones. I mean, they're not very long. How long are episodes?
The Telltale one, right?
The Telltale one.
Game of Thrones?
Generally. No, I mean, like...
The first Walking Dead was very long, but they've gotten a lot shorter. Now you're looking at, like, maybe 2 hours.
Okay, yeah. I'm definitely going to go through that maybe tomorrow. Yeah. So...
How about you, Bobby? What do you do?
All right. I don't know. I don't have anything on my mind, actually. I'm just kind of open to whatever comes my way.
He's thinking about visiting some retirement homes.
Yeah, he's
getting a little... See what's up with that
piece of ass there.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been bouncing around between a lot of games.
Well, you should look at the listener requests. I'm sure we got some in there
that's also interested in games. Chad, what was the thing that got nominated for one of the best games of the year, and you were like, oh, I didn't play that?
Bayonetta 2?
Yeah.
I don't think that's on
your PC. No, it's not. But you have it.
I don't think I do. I think it's a Nintendo game.
Oh, okay.
Maybe anyway. I play Warband. Mountain Blade Warband. I don't know. A lot of buzz about that. Always is.
Yeah, somebody was asking that.
It's just one of those games I always hear a lot about, and it's like, I got to see what the deal is with that eventually. But I don't know. It's going to be, I'm going to play a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to see what sticks, what I like, and then I'll just play through that. So it'll be a surprise.
Cool.
All right. So check us out. DLGaming.net is the website. We also got a YouTube channel, podcasts coming out weekly on iTunes. And that's it.
Check out the streams every week now, right? We're making this a thing.
I think this is a thing, yeah. Well, Saturdays for sure, usually later. This is a very early one, so usually it'll be like...
10 or 11.
9, 10, 11.
And yeah, see you guys later.
I don't know which side is the pointy end. Oh, it's the titties.
I don't know what that means.